Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. How many of you can remember what your life was like back in the free world? No, seriously, how many of you can remember what you were doing the first 10 or so days of March before we began living with restrictions? Though it was a long time ago, I vividly remember how I spent those days. I was taking the kids to school every day. I was picking them up from school. I was providing dinner in some form or fashion. See, on March the 1st, my wife Shauna took off for Israel with a friend for the trip of a lifetime. And when she came back, everything had changed due to something we were hearing about called the coronavirus. But that wasn't everything that had changed. You see, while Shauna was away, Israel changed her. The Bible came alive in ways she had never experienced before. And when she came back, she was just a different person. She gave our family this presentation of all that she discovered there. And Shauna thought, at least she had the suspicion, that it was going to be an amazing trip. But the reality of going there and all that she discovered, it caused her to value Israel in a way she hadn't valued it before. And here's why. Our experience changes what we treasure. Our experience changes what we treasure, and this is true in all of life. So if you go to a restaurant you've only heard about, you can't value it, but once you've had it, you're like, oh my gosh, this has changed everything for me. Our experience changes what we treasure. Today, we're continuing in this series called Treasure, One Thing Over Everything, and I'm calling today's message, Let's Go See. And the reason we have to go see is because of what I've just told you. If we don't go and see, it will not have a bearing on what we value, at least relative to the thing we need to go see. We must go see because our experience changes what we treasure. Since Shauna came home from Israel initially, and she continues to tell me that, she says, Ben, we have to go do this together. And I want to go there with her, but I today cannot value that place like she is able to value that place. Some of you hear people like me and others in your life talk about our experience with Jesus, about how we love him, about how we want to worship him, about how we spend time with him, about how he's changed our lives. And you just honestly say to yourself, I don't have that kind of experience with Jesus. And I totally understand, but let me ask you this question. Is it possible that experiencing Jesus personally could change how much you treasure him? I mean, just think about that question. If you were to experience him personally, couldn't that possibly change how much you treasure him? And you might say, Ben, it probably would, but I don't have access to Jesus like you and other people that I know do. You might say, Ben, I have quite a past. You might even say, Ben, I'm a skeptic by nature. Fair enough to whatever your reason or rationale might be, but let's look into our main text for today and just see what kind of people Jesus came for. Let's see if you and I fit into the kinds of people that Jesus came to earth so that they might experience all that God is. Our text for today is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And even if you're not typically a church person, this text is going to be familiar probably to you. But I believe there's some treasure to dig up out of this text today that you might not have realized before, even if you're quite familiar with Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Here's what we read from Luke. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Listen, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him," hear that again, "when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." You may have been told this story about the good news of Jesus before, but I wonder if you've ever come and seen it for yourself. I wonder if you might be able to say, when we end our time together today, "I had heard about this, but now I've seen it for myself." First thing I want to tell you coming out of this text is this: you have been invited to experience the Savior of the world, and you don't have to be afraid. You've been invited to come and experience the Savior of the world, and you don't have to be afraid. There is so much fear in our world. Would you agree with me? And we might even say that in this year, 2020, we have seen fear more than any year before in our lives. You might have even personally experienced more fear this year than any other year in our lives. And sometimes we think like, oh, we've just become a fearful people. But I want you to know that the command that shows up most in all of Scripture isn't the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's actually not. It's not the significant command to love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't show up more than all of the other commands in Scripture. More than anything else in all of Scripture, this command shows up: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, I want to say something that I've learned over the last decade of starting and building Epic Church. I've learned to pray this prayer: God, would you show me where I need to lean into faith in you more, or whether I need to lean into wisdom that you have more? Now, we know that the faith of God is required, faith in God is required, and the wisdom of God is required. But I want to say this, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people think that everything that's being done is fear-based. But here's what I want to say: let's not allow our faith in God to dismiss the wisdom of God. Let's not allow our faith in God to dismiss the wisdom of God. But we do have to rally around this idea from God: do not be afraid. In church, let me give you a little precursor to what's coming up in 2021 when we begin to have wisdom from God to regather and rebuild and relaunch Epic Church. I want you to know that we are going to confront fear head on with our faith in God, because the Scriptures tell us over and over and over again, the men and women and communities that get in on what God has for them, they cannot get paralyzed by fear. And those who get paralyzed by fear actually have to miss out on what God's intention is for them. So we want to go after that. I love this from Psalm 112 verse 7. It says, "They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." I love this. It doesn't say there is no bad news. Our world, and especially if you were to ask me, I think our media in 2020 wants us to believe, and some of you have bought it hook, line, and sinker, that the only news that exists in the world today is bad news. I get that. And not only has our media kind of come up with that message, but some of you believe that the only news that exists in your world today is bad news. but you've missed it because here's what you need to know. The message of Christmas is good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The message of Christmas and the entire message of Christianity itself is good news that will cause great joy for all the people. God shows up in the Christmas story to the nobodies, to the outcasts, to the throwaways. You see, shepherds were considered to be dishonest, and they were considered unclean according to the law. And I want you to imagine with me this message of God, good news, great joy for all the people. Imagine that message, good news, great joy for all the people. What if that message had only showed up to the religious? What if that message had only shown up to the wealthy? What if that message had only showed up to nobility? What if that message had only showed up to the well-accomplished? But because the message shows up to people like these shepherds, we need to assume that this invitation from God must actually be good news of great joy for all the people. So whatever your story is, whatever's true about your past, whatever's true about what you haven't accomplished in your life, whatever's true about the status you do have or don't have, this message of good news, great joy, is actually for all the people. I spent much of my adolescence struggling with anger. And I can't tell you all of the reasons why, but I lived with this sense in my teenage years that everyone was against me. And when you think that everyone is out to get you, you will not assume that God is for you, especially when you've given him plenty of reasons not to be. But somewhere along the way, I became convinced of who God actually was, that he wasn't who I had made up in my mind, that he wasn't out to get me, that he didn't just come for people who seemingly had their act together, but he came for people like me. And I'm here to tell you today that he's come for people just like you. One day, Jesus was asked, "What in the world are you doing eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And I love his answer from Luke 5, 31 and 32. Jesus answered them, "What am I doing with sinners? Here's what I'm doing. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Aren't you thankful today that he has not come for those of us who have it all together, who have a clean past, who've got the future already worked out? He's come for those of us who need a savior. He's come for you, and he's come for me. But here's what you have to know. We will not treasure Jesus unless we truly experience him. I told you this in the beginning, our experience changes what we treasure, and we will not treasure Jesus unless and until we truly experience him. Listen, for the shepherds, it was not enough that they were told that Jesus is the Savior of the world. For these shepherds, it was not enough even for them to be invited to come and see the one who's been born, the Messiah. They actually had to go and see. They had to respond, and so must we. G.K. Chesterton, his writing had a huge influence on the faith of C.S. Lewis. And here's what Chesterton wrote one time. He said, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." I love this. The Christian ideal, it has not been tried and found wanting or lacking. It's actually been found to be difficult, and thus it's been left untried. This is what I love about the Alpha course. Alpha is something we offer here at Epic multiple times, and if you've never gone through it, I would encourage you to go through it when we offer it again starting in January. But the Alpha course, it allows people to try Christianity. It allows people to come and experience Jesus. It allows people to investigate, to look into the claims. And I'm currently thinking about people who entered Alpha just trying to figure out, is this true? And towards the end of 2020 right now, they are saying to their Alpha leaders, "Jesus has become everything for me." And I wonder about for you. And you're like, Ben, how did that happen for them? How did they go to the place I'm at today where I'm kind of on the outside of this religion thing, this Jesus thing, this Christianity thing? How did they go from that place to treasuring Jesus? Well, it's what I've been telling you about and want to keep saying today. They just came and saw. They just came and investigated. They just showed up and wanted to get close enough. And I wonder, would you come and see? Come and see if he's worthy of your worship. Come and see if he can satisfy your deepest longings. You owe it to yourself to get close enough to see. And if you've not come close enough, come close. You owe it to yourself. And here's what will happen. Either you will experience Jesus and you will treasure him above everything else in your life, or you're at least going to get close enough to know who it is that you're rejecting. Psalm 34:8 says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Taste and see. Taste and see. You guys, this is not about us knowing facts about Jesus. This is about us experiencing Jesus. Your experience changes what you treasure. And certainly this message is for those of you who don't yet have faith in Jesus, but I want to just for a moment speak to those of you who are Christians. If you're a Christian, I'm curious, do you only speak about Jesus in the past tense? Because the invitation to these shepherds and the invitation that I'm making to people who haven't tasted and seen that the Lord is good, it's a daily invitation for you and for me to come and see. It's this daily opportunity for you and I to experience Jesus. And I hope when you talk about your faith, you don't have to talk about it as something that was years ago or pre-COVID, because he is offering you a chance today. Come and see. Come on, come and see. Listen, I love the day that I got married to Shauna. It was a great day. But I'm so glad that when you ask me now about my marriage to Shauna, I don't have to tell you about all of those years ago. I don't have to talk about how special it was 6 years ago. You see, Shauna and I on a daily basis, not perfectly, but we've developed this intimate marriage over time, and every day we get to experience this beautiful reality with each other. So it's built this strong relationship, strong bond, deep intimacy over time. In fact, this Wednesday, December the 16th, Shauna and I will celebrate 20 years of marriage. Yes, you're right. Props to Shauna, and yes, we got married when we were young. If you're a Christian, do you only talk about your experience with Jesus in the past? If so, come and see today. But here's another element that you see from the shepherds. I mean, I love what they do. Before we get to that, I love what they do. It says, the angels left them after the angels delivered the message, and they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see." And the text, Luke tells us this. Here's the phrase. So they hurried off. So they hurried off. When it comes to our experience of Jesus, we put it off, but the shepherds hurried off. You and I, we find 100 other things to read, 100 other things to give our time and energy to, 100 other things to scroll. But when they heard that the Messiah, the Savior of the world is here, they didn't put it off, they hurried off. And I don't know what has caused you to put off engaging in the experience of who this Jesus is, but put everything else off until you hurry off and find out if this is true and if it's for you. But here's the thing. When you go and see Jesus, you will want everyone else to see him too. If you want to know why you don't tell other people about Jesus, it's probable that you just haven't gone and seen, or at least you haven't experienced him. My father grew up in a home where his dad was an alcoholic and didn't introduce my dad to Jesus. But there came a moment where my dad had this experience with Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that, because it has changed everything about my life and my siblings' life. But when my dad saw, he wanted us to see. He wanted us to see. And now that I have kids, I want my children to see Jesus, because I know how good he is. And the reason we started this church and the reason our team brings our best every single week, and we have for the past decade, is because we wanted you to see. But we don't just want you to see, we want your friends to see and your coworkers to see. We want your neighbors to see and your family members to see. The shepherds show us how to do this naturally. When they had seen him, they spread the word. When they had seen him, they spread the word. When you see, you will spread the word. You won't be able to keep it from the people who mean so much to you. One of the things that I don't talk a lot about, but has surprised me in the best possible way over the last 10 years, is not only did we reach so many people here in San Francisco, but we actually made our way into the hearts and homes of your family members. Just never saw that coming when we started this church. A lot of times what happens is I will get letters or emails from the parents of young adults, and they will say, thank you for starting this church. We live in such and such city, such and such state, such and such country, and we were praying that our young adult would find a church home in a place like San Francisco. Thank you. But let me tell you what's happened lately. Even over 2020, we've been getting letters and emails from your parents telling us how Epic is causing their faith to grow. That's the best. I've heard from parents this year and family members. Some of them are siblings. I've heard from people in Washington and in Oregon and from Wyoming and Ohio. And I love this. Who knew that we would start this church to help you see? And once you saw, you would invite other people to see as well. And I want to show you and really highlight for you a great opportunity to help people see. We are 11 days away from Christmas Eve. And people are willing to watch church, go to church on Christmas Eve more than any other day of the year, except maybe Easter. But in recent years, the national trend has been people are going to Christmas even more than Easter. And we have created a great Christmas Eve gathering. Seth and his family, it's going to be awesome. They're going to sing Christmas songs. I've got about a 20-minute message called He's Still Here. And you have this amazing opportunity to help people that you care about see Jesus. And here's how it's going to go down Christmas Eve. At 5 p.m. at live.epicsf.com, we'll have our normal gathering where there are stream hosts available. But at 7 a.m. Pacific time on Christmas Eve, you will be able to go ahead and see the link, grab the link, share the link with the people who mean the most to you, and just send it out over your phone. Just copy and paste it, text it out, email it out, post it on all of your social channels. That could be the very best opportunity you have. It's a simple opportunity, but it's the very best opportunity some of our friends and family members and coworkers and neighbors will have to experience who Jesus is. So make a commitment today that you're going to let them know, hey, my church is doing this Christmas Eve thing, and I want to share the link with you. It's a great opportunity. I love that from the shepherds. When they had seen, they spread the word. When they had seen, they spread the word. Have you seen? Then it's time to spread the word. But there's another character in the story beyond just the shepherds, and it's the mother to the Son of God. And it says about Mary that she just kept treasuring and pondering the things that the shepherds had said. And I think Mary never stopped treasuring and pondering who this Messiah was, who the Son of God was, who her son was. And, you know, so often you and I take for granted what becomes familiar to us. I don't think Mary ever took Jesus for granted. She's nursing him as she's watching him take his first steps. As he, you know how it is, parents, when your kids ask you questions you don't know how to answer? Can you imagine being the mother to the Messiah and getting questions you don't know how to answer? Every time you get it wrong, your child knows that it's wrong. She never stopped treasuring him and pondering who he is. As he grows up, as his ministry goes public, and then, of course, we know that she's present there as he's going through his worst moment, or maybe we would say our best moment where our sins are being forgiven, but he's in agony on the cross. And I think when she, we don't see this in the scripture, we don't know about it, but you can imagine what happened to her heart and her treasuring and her pondering when she understands that he really did come back to life. And I think if Mary could tell us today, she would say, listen, let me tell you, I saw him every day. She wouldn't just want you to know about him. She would want you, and I want you, to not just know about him, but to experience him. Because I promise you, if you truly experience him, he will become a treasure to you and for you. And when you see him, you will do what these shepherds did. You will want everyone else to see him. One time Jesus told a parable, and it's my favorite parable. And it's my favorite parable, not just because it's a one-verse parable, but I just love what it says, and it has everything to do with what we're talking about today. In Matthew 13, 44, Jesus said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." I love that. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus himself, he's like a treasure hidden in the field. And here's the catchphrase, when he found it. When he found it, you see, he couldn't treasure what he had not experienced, but when he found it, he's like, I've got to have this, and I don't care what I give up to have it. In his, what's the word for today from Advent? In his joy, he goes and he gets rid of everything else because he has learned, if this is available to me, I don't care what else I have to give up because I treasure this, I value this, this is the prize, and he does whatever it takes to get it. This, my friends, is exactly how experience works. Had he never discovered the treasure, though, he would have kept putting everything else above that. But once he discovered the treasure, and let's be honest, most treasures in the world are off limits to ordinary people like you and me. Most treasures in the world. Sean and I remember when we were looking at some immaculate yachts. You know, that's one of those where like you're trying to live vicariously through someone. And others of you know about people who have certain size homes or they get to go to such and such place. And the reality is most treasures in the world are off limits to people like you and me. Not this one. This will be good news of great joy for all the people. Have you seen? If not, would you like to see today? I want to give you an opportunity. And I don't want to talk to you about knowledge of Jesus. I don't want to talk to you about how long you've been in our church or some other church. I want to know, have you truly seen him? Have you had an experience with Jesus? And yes, this is mystical to some degree, but it's rooted in a person who came. It's been made available to all the people. And if you would like to experience Jesus today, you can just say something like this to him. Jesus, I've had ideas about you, about who you were, and about whether or not I could have a place with you. But today I've heard that you came for people just like me. And I want to experience you. I want to come and see. I want to know what you care about. I want to know what's true. I want to know what you can do for me and the people that mean a lot to me, especially in a year like 2020. Can you revive us? Can you lift us from this? Can you give us hope? If so, I want to give you my life, Jesus. You can have my life. If you've done that today, I want to encourage you to get your phone out and actually text the word begin to 313131. There's nothing greater in all of the world than for you to experience Jesus. Because if you do, and if you have this day, I promise you, he will become a treasure. He will become, as we're saying in this series, that one thing over everything else. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that you didn't come for the wealthy only, or the religious only, or the well-accomplished only. Thank you that you didn't come for people who had their act together, because if so, I would have been left on the outside. God, thank you for coming for people just like me, and just like every person watching today, every old person and every young person, every man and every woman, every person who's crushing it in their career, and those who have no clue where their career will go next. God, for everyone in a great marriage and for everyone whose marriage has been broken. God, for everyone who is getting what they want out of life and everyone who wishes they could have a do-over, would you help us to experience you today? And God, when we experience you, I believe with all of my heart that you will become the treasure of our lives. Thank you for what you've done, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for offering your life on the cross. Thank you that we can have the greatest treasure on earth and in heaven. And that's you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship. Let's respond. Let's declare who this one is who has come for us. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.